are you, dickheads?
Welcome to episode 38. This one's called Elf on the Shelf. Campbell, how are you?
I'm fantastic. It's, you know, not long till Christmas. I think thematically Elf on the Shelf works, although a bit of a disclaimer on this one. There is some conversations that kids may not be needing to hear, is probably the best way of putting it, to do with the Elf on the Shelf and other things.
Yeah, this is a definitely an NSFW podcast at the best of times. I think we dig a little deeper on that this time around.
Oh, there's definitely some digging, and it definitely goes deeper. But naturally, sorry, David.
No, sorry, Campbell.
I was about to say, naturally, I like to interrupt you. We thought we'd get on a couple of our fan favourites. Who are they, David?
They are the one, the only, Jesse Sex Rex Heiss, owner and operator of FreeCityGames.com, and one, Jason, the man, the myth, the legend, Jason Mountain. Yeah, he joined us for a Christmas chat, and wasn't it fun? Didn't we have fun?
Mate, that was one of the best chats I reckon we've had. Naturally, we kind of, you know, ebb and flow in and out of Guild Ball. I think there's a few obvious times when we try to drag it back to Guild Ball. But it's a fun, festive conversation, and that's basically what we're aiming for. We did it last year with the Singled Out guys, and Andrew couldn't make it this year. So we just got Jason and we got Jesse on because we witnessed at WTC something to behold when you get those two men in the same room talking.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an event singularity of a rare form. Yeah, I mean, people all have their different Christmas traditions. Mine's burying my head in the sand and just waiting for it to be over. But, you know, I like this as an alternative as well. You know, get somebody from Singled Out on, talk some shit for a bit. Yeah, it seems to work out.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, he's a champion. Straight from laying cables. I don't think he understood what I meant by that. But, yeah, no. We do like Jason. Can't wait to see him next year if we get over to WTC again and if we get selected and he gets selected. Yeah, good little chat.
Yeah. Talk about Christmas. All things Christmas. Actually, we don't. We really don't, man. It was just like, it was a literal shit show. The best kind of double dodge episode. You know, people come here for high-level strategy. Sure, we get that, man. We get that. But importantly, they come here for rampant swearing, disgusting propositions, and generally to get their head read. You're going to need it after this chat.
Yeah. So Merry Christmas to you all, then.
Hold on, I just got to put some plutonium in the flux capacitor here. Get the Wang machine working. I think we're ready. Let's go.
And here we go on the line for the Christmas episode. Everyone waits for this. Straight from laying a cable, Mr. Jason Mountain, all the way from the UK. How are you going, sir?
Ho, ho, ho. Fantastic, mate. Yeah, I'm loving a little bit of grey, mediocre weather. A little bit of wetness on the ground, a little bit of coldness in the air.
Is that because you peed all over your feet while you were laying that cable, or?
That's why that made me warm. We do that over here just to like get a bit of heat into our bodies.
Nice.
I don't actually lay cables anymore. By the way, I've got lackeys that do that.
Okay. We'll get to the meaning of that anyway. But we couldn't just get one joker on the line. We had to get more than one. So I believe our sponsorship contract states we must get him on. But despite this, we actually think Jesse is an okay guy. So straight from Free City, he's come all the way here from Geelong. Mr. Jesse Heiss, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. I'm as wet as Mountain said, but for different reasons.
Because it's Christmas soon?
No, it's just very hot here, and I'm pretty moist just to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. And my partner in crime, Mr. David Scotland, how are you, sir, this close to Christmas?
Oh, I'm fucking over it, mate. I'm done for the year. That's it. draw the curtains, pass the whiskey. That's where I'm at.
I mean, to be fair, I think we've all had our issues at the moment. I'm still waiting on hold with chat just to try to get my email working. It's been out for at least the last 24 hours, and I can't begin to understand how many dollars it's actually fucking costing me. But anyway, I can't wait for that the next Christmas whiskey. So let's get on this.
Yes, indeed. First of all, thank you all for being here. It's a special time of year. Gather around the hearth and share stories and, you know, sing songs, Christmas carols. Speaking of Christmas carols, work today, boss comes in, fucking turns on the Christmas carols, like it's 8:30 in the morning. What's going on? I don't work in retail. I actually have a very difficult job. You're not helping. I filed a harassment claim because I'm an atheist and it conflicts with my views.
Marvelous.
Yeah, so that's me. Merry Christmas, bitches.
Yeah. Coming at you from the Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Any other like happy Christmas stories to share from the trenches?
I'm afraid mine are all just really positive and happy, so I probably should just like not share any of them because I don't want to be like seen as the anti-bar humbug. So
we're gonna have some happiness.
Just rock on,
Mountain. You've got to inject some levity into this conversation.
Oh man, I've got two young children. My oldest is like 3 and a half, and we've got the whole elf on a shelf thing going on at home where every morning he wakes up and he's like, Daddy, I wonder what my elves are doing. And I'm like, nothing, you little dickhead, because I couldn't be fucked to come up with something new. But
mate, so it is a plague, that thing. It just keeps on going, and you cannot wait for Christmas to come. It's actually a pleasure to put presents out instead of the fucking elf.
Well, I think I've taught him two valuable life lessons today. I've taught him expectation and disappointment.
The greatest gifts of all.
Yeah. It's just like, son, you're going to experience a lot of this in your life. I know you're not 4 yet, but I feel it'll put you in good stead.
Yeah.
Is that away from you, though, now, the disappointment?
Yeah, man. Just ask my wife. She is like, she's got a master's in disappointment.
I was shocked to find out you even had a wife when I was actually chatting to you.
Honestly, mate. Like,
how is that possible?
Well, it makes two of you. We got engaged and she was slightly drunk at the time. The next day she was like, I've got like a 24-hour cooling off period on this, haven't I? And I was like, that ring costs £600. You have got no cooling off period.
Only slightly drunk.
Well, when you say lightly drunk, do you mean like you roofied her champagne?
it was more of a Rohypna Colada. I'm a classy man. I go for cocktails because that's inevitably what she ends up with in her.
You know, man, I admire your thrift because that Rohypnol, that will last for a long time. So you really
she's only small, so it's like elephant tranquilizer to her.
Well, this has been a very dark start to the Christmas episode.
I mean, it can only go up, right?
Yeah. I get nervous sometimes, you know, like we know we're joking about Rohypnol, but somewhere on the internet, somewhere we'll go, there's a record of us talking about roofying people as a marriage tactic.
Yeah. You guys don't live in the UK. Be grateful for that. Like, you still have something resembling freedom of speech.
No, we don't, mate. We don't.
Do you not? Have the thought police got to you as well?
No, we have the illusion of freedom of speech. And then we have like vast wilderness where you can pretty much wander into and do whatever you want.
Mm.
You want to fuck a wombat? You can do that. You want to put a body down a mineshaft? You can do that. Land of possibilities. Okay. That's part of the tourism campaign.
Oh, yeah, seems fair. I'll book my ticket and get over there.
Yeah. Fuck. Gilball. Everything's on fire at the moment. Everything's on fire.
I hear Gubbs is fairly incendiary at the moment. I'm not on it anymore. I don't go there. But I hear reports.
Do you feel that you have you've moved into a just as we are in a post-truth phase, right? Do you feel you're now in a post-Gubbs phase? Do you feel like you've moved through your Gilboa career and now you've transcended the need to engage on the internet about it?
Oh yeah, I'm now reaching my ultimate form. That's where I'm heading to next.
And what would that look like, Mountain?
I think, like, probably a slightly asthmatic badger.
What the fuck does that look like?
Well, like, one that's sort of been beaten around the head a few times. Not quite to, like, to the extent of it nearly being dead, but it's like, it definitely needs some product in it. Maybe lay off the alcohol a little bit and get some more vitamins and not live in a country where you can't get vitamin D other fruit than through a supplement.
Fair.
Right. Is it like a suppository? Vitamin D suppository?
It doesn't have to be, but I always feel it's better to request it and be sure.
What about, you know, you talk about Elf on a Shelf, and then you sort of, the mind naturally wanders to shelfing and discussion.
I was actually just thinking maybe I could turn the elf into a miner. Oh, hang on. I've just thought about how that's really going to sound if I carry on down that line. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to edit that out clearly, but child line, don't call me. I'll call you.
Or you meant like M-I-N-E-R, right? Like a miner down a shaft.
Yeah,
careful.
But do you know what?
I mean, is that going to be?
If you stick an elf on the shelf up your ass, it is still technically an elf on the shelf.
Right, that's what I was going to. I was like, imagine that. It wakes up. I mean, we've got off Gilball already, but he wakes up in the morning. Daddy, I wonder where my elf is. Daddy has to like stumble down the stairs like a scene out of Brokeback Mountain with a fucking elf hanging out.
Just those two weird little legs dangling out of your arsehole, you know, like a cat that swallowed a paper bag.
You'd go head first. I was thinking legs first, so like the head's poking out way big.
Wearing you like a sleeping bag.
Yeah, I thought that would be the better way rather than the legs out.
Wow.
Giving birth would be good.
Wow. All right, just talk amongst yourself for a sec. I got to go grab a drink.
We've got two of these elves, so I don't know what I'd do with the other one.
Why the hell did you get two? Seriously?
I've got two children.
Yeah, you only have one elf, right? You just hide the one.
Well, the idea was that we had two, so there's one for each of the boys, but we didn't really think about the fact that my youngest isn't even two yet and doesn't really understand what the hell's going on anyway. Either that, or he might be slow. We haven't had any tests done yet, so
could be one or the other. So you know, who knows?
I can stand up most of the time.
So, in the interest of bringing this back to like a slight resemblance of Gilball, I think at some point the punters, you know, are going to go. Maybe they want to hear about it. I like the talk of Gubbs. Has anyone got a highlight for 2018 of the funniest thing they've seen said on Gubbs, or the biggest complaint?
I did find slightly humorous the other day. I don't know, and it I don't know who was responsible for it, but someone put the Big Brother eye on Gubbs, saying that Gubbs is watching you or something, or the admins are watching you, and then it got removed, and I couldn't help but feel that. The irony of something Orwellian like that, talking about Big Brother and the...
And then Big Brother removes it.
Yes, and then it gets redacted from history. So I thought that was quite funny. But that's probably not quite the sort of humour you meant.
What did I miss?
I was looking for anything at that point. David, we're looking for, speaking of Gubbs, any highlights or lowlights that you've seen posted on Gubbs this year? I mean, there has been some fantastic, painting and whatnot, but any of the funniest comments you've, seen floating around in Gubbs?
I quite enjoyed the whole Minerva face recall thing and then how people were, like, posting pictures of models with misshapen faces, you know, comparing them to the Minerva thing. Yeah.
Well, surely they're all the same, weren't they? I mean, surely they were all misshapen or they weren't.
Just like smooth like a Ken doll. I think somebody posted a Ken doll crotch.
Brilliant.
Look at the definition.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're reminiscing about the year that was.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, you can highlight anything. You know, you could talk about your favourite nerf of 2018. You know, season four, what's that brought about?
Well, my favourite nerf was Jaker in context of the rest of the hunters.
That kept him level and pushed everyone past him.
Yeah, he got nerfed.
Yeah.
It's crazy. He's still so good, though. I played against him last night. Like, I mean, that guild's loaded with good players. Let's not pretend it isn't. But still, like, that mark for death, your car, four influence with a charge, the traps. The guy's still baller, but you're absolutely right. He's gone from being in every six to not even making 12s.
Yeah, I mean, he is a stellar model. Maybe they did go a little bit over the mark with the Cena rework. I don't know. I wouldn't be the one to say it.
No.
I think it's just a strong guild, isn't it? It's got no weak link. And, you know, a guild is the, unlike, say, when we had the Brewers dominating everywhere, that was because Decimate was so far above everything else and you could put so much through her. And I think the same for Scalpel in that she is really strong and Morticians are really strong, but it's all about optimizing the captain's activation. Whereas in Hunters, you don't need, other than the bear, but everything else is still rock solid and reliable in what it does and incredibly efficient doing it as well. And in a game where efficiency...
Sorry, mate. That was Will's point as well on the last cast. Like, loses his captain in a finals game, doesn't give a fuck, just give it to somebody else.
Mm. Yeah, because both captains are absolute support captains. Like, they can get work done individually if they need to, but there's no requirement for them to have to.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of other guilds, like, still, like, Thresher, Scalpel, as we've said, Union probably to a degree, and I'm not just going to list a load of other guilds, but a lot of them are about optimising that captain's output. But farmers, hunters are in a, I think, probably unique place at the moment where they don't need to optimize anything. You can remove like one or two parts from that team and it's still incredibly scary. Like, I got an 8 VP activation of Blackheart last night and still lost the game.
Huh. You're still playing Blackheart?
I've gone back to him, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Blackheart for
life. But it's one of those where I never thought I'd be able to be off meta playing Union. But apparently you can be now.
What are other people's Christmas recollections, favorite Guild Ball moments? I don't know where we got to, but I'm drinking a fucking tasty single malt. It's very good.
Well, I think all four of us have got to say WTC. I know you guys have talked about before. We've talked about it before, but that was an epic experience.
Yeah, it was incredible. Like, it was just flat out amazing. Partly because
I was just going to say that was fucking incredible, mainly because I went 0-5 and still had one of the best times in my life.
Did you even realise that you played five games?
No. I reckon that I lost one halfway through. But I was just praying. I was praying that who was it, Jared or Easton, that they lost one of them, had to lose at the end, so we didn't have to play a six. Then go up and go have a fucking nap. Reboot to play on that night.
Man, your napping power is legendary. I've seen photographic proof of it.
It's like Jones falling asleep, like, bless him, sitting upright.
Yeah. Man, I'm missing Jones this year. God, he's a legend. Good dude. It's always sad at Christmas when people can't quite make it, you know?
I'm spreading my Christmas cheer to him this weekend.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What's the vehicle of transmission?
It's my tournament, my mandatory Christmas tournament that he's running for me.
What, you just say to him, Jones, run me a tournament, click your fingers, and he does it?
No, more like he put a tournament on and He organised it and he got the venue and he sold tickets for it and publicised it, and then I just reappropriated it at the end to be mine.
Fair enough. Well, I think that gives you that. Like we hand out awards at the end of every year, and that definitely gives you the what's the name of that bird that steals other birds' nests? I don't fucking know. I'm going to call you a jackdaw.
Well, let's go with magpie, because magpies steal shiny things.
Yeah, that seems appropriate.
But you guys, aren't like your magpies like vicious fuckers that will rip a child apart?
Yes. Some of them, yeah.
Let's be honest, most of them.
Like the ones in the bad suburbs, definitely, but the ones in like the inner metro areas are very civilized, polite.
A bit more tame.
Ours will just peck a hole in your milk bottle top.
Oh. What, like have a little drink? Get their calcium?
I mean, they just need to get... they need their vitamins, don't they?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how birds work. I'm not an ornithologist, unfortunately. I feel like if there was ever a time to be one, now would be it.
I think we're starting to get into the territory of... Jesse's expertise here.
Yes, I was just going to say, like, I think we were talking the other day, just a flash behind the curtain there. I think we're talking about the person who invented milk or first discovered that it was quite tasty.
That was it. He's
fucked up, surely.
I compared us. Did I say that we were like Romulus and Remus?
Oh, yeah, it was like reincarnation of those two gone wrong and was split to the opposite sides of the world.
Man, you probably it was like seeing the keymaster come to the gatekeeper. It was a fucking Ghostbusters moment. It was incredible. I've never seen bromance so hard.
It blossomed like a stop motion video.
Yes.
What, like of a plant growing overnight?
Yeah. One of those mushrooms that just sort of like blooms and then...
So Mountain, like now that you and Andrew have done so many podcast episodes, do you feel there's anything left to be said?
I do feel strangely, actually. I've just been discussing this a bit recently with... people here and there about what's left to discuss about Gilborn. And I feel like the initial launch of season 4 came out and we all felt like there was going to be a lot of hype and a lot to talk about. But actually, I don't feel like the game state or has really changed in any significant way. Mm-hmm. I think all that we've really done is replace A and B at the top with another A and B. And the way they functionally work is still fairly similar to the way we were trying to win in season 3, so I do feel like conceptually there isn't a whole lot more to talk about in the game. Like, I do think Strictly the Worst sometimes come out with some good concepts, like talking about or explaining them better, more articulate than I ever can. But I do think, like, the game, I mean, I'm not playing the game any different to what I was in season 3, which is probably why I'm not winning any more than I was winning in season 3. But I do still Avery's think
Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, fair. Consistency is key, right?
Yeah, those 5 games I played in the entirety of season 3 were great, though.
Exactly. So I think the game is still more... Like, I've had a few discussions with people who are like, sort of... I don't know. There's this... Excuse me, I'm a bit blocked up. There's this... thought from some people that, like, in the good old days, the game used to be about high scoring high footballing 3-0 games, and I don't feel it ever has been, and I don't feel it is now. And I feel more of the tech and developments within the game that have come out are pushing towards more of a takeout game than a football orientated game, and I guess that's because it's easier to develop new character plays and that interact with damage or control than perhaps football without imbalancing it. So I do think that there isn't really a whole lot of different content to talk about compared to what there was before, if you follow me.
do you feel like, and this is one of the things I was thinking about the other day, in that I completely agree that the game in terms of, yeah, which way the points kind of go, you functionally play the same style of game. They have sped it up a little bit in terms of it's easier to kill quicker and potentially easier to, you know, harder to hide the ball, score quicker. Do you think that dumbs it down a little bit in terms of it levels the playing field slightly if you can score the points easier or quicker?
Okay, I'm going to say I will say no, in the sense that I think it's more punishing. I think the barrier for entry, if you're a new newer person coming into the game, is harder when you go to a tournament, because there's more, like, you know, you've got things like Boiler, Cena, O'Chisel, and whatever, who can just one random model. If you make a mistake there and a misplay, then that can be it. You can just snowball a game from there. So if you're a new player playing against a more experienced player, I think that gap is further apart now than it's ever been. But I think for newer players to get VP is also probably easier as well at the same time. But I think it's, yeah, sorry, I'm probably going roundabout on my point back then, but you kind of get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. No, it was just an interesting thought that I, and maybe I haven't articulated it quite the way I want to, but maybe those middle kind of the road people, because it's sped up, you know, someone who's kind of good, you know, good average player, they're not entry level, but they are able to win more games, or at least, you know, get a lot more points because it's sped up, and so it kind of removes some of the margin for error, maybe.
There's a lot more certainties in the game now, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about like blacksmiths being able to like guarantee 5 hits or sledge being able to guarantee 8 damage, but because overall people who have output, like damage output, it's got more reliable, then the maths for people becomes a lot easier to comprehend, like, and therefore, like, farmers are an example of where it's just like, I've got 4 influence on this model, I know I'll do 8 damage.
Yeah, that's glorious. I've played Dave a few times and, yeah, keep rolling and get 1, and it's 2 damage. Momentous, thank you.
All bar dice. I will caveat that anything that we discuss further, when I say anything is a certainty, I'm saying all bar catastrophic dice, because I know people will always be like, oh yeah, but you could miss a vote for thing. It's like, yes, I could. I know I could, but I'm not going to explain that point every single time I say something.
Yeah, exactly. We're not calculating extremes at either end, are we? We're talking about likely results. Or unless you're playing navigators, at which point you just kind of pick a playbook result that you want. That was certainly my experience playing against them.
We had a discussion about them the other day, and I don't think they're unbeatable at all. No. I do think they're very strong.
They just remind me of Sharkfish back in like season 2, season 3 transition. Like, I think the counterplay is still the same. You know, kill the ball, kill the players. You know, score is the last thing.
They've got arguably some very, very good tools for dealing with that. I think they are head and shoulders the best minor guild so far.
Yes.
Yeah. But they are still a minor guild, and so therefore that has all of the inherent kind of limitations. That has all the inherent limitations that any minor guild has.
Speaking of limitations, who the fuck is rattling their microphone in the background? If I have to come over there,
I blame Jesse.
Somebody's going to get the strap.
Yeah. He's got his head down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. That's not his microphone. He's rattling.
It's not a microphone.
Whereas I said I was going to put 1 elf on the shelf, Jesse's seeing how many elves he can get.
He's got a whole Santa's workshop up there.
he's got all of Santa's workshop and the guy from Elf.
Fucking Buddy the Elf. And they're pushing out toys at a rate of knots.
And here comes Rudolph.
Oh man, that's a prolapse.
No, I don't have anything.
So let me let me fire that question back at you guys then. How do you view it now for where the game is, and has, are there still a variety of concepts to talk about, or do you feel yourselves when you come to record or whatever that actually
I think Jesse should field this question.
Okay, so to Jesse. Yeah, I mean, it's easy for Jesse because he's still learning what Guild Ball is.
Brutal. Look, you're not wrong. I've played a grand total of 2 season 4 games.
One of them was with the...
play on.
One of them was with the Gouged Eye Orcs, wasn't it?
Yes, well, I've also listened to about a third of your latest episode of Singled Out, but mainly what I learned from that is you're right, where you'll replace the A and B team. I would have articulated a bit better and said with C and D, but they're the top tier, and just got to figure out how to beat those. And you're right, there's not too much else to talk about except for specific players, how they may have changed. I think I was chatting to a couple of you guys the other day that I hadn't even noticed that a few players had changed so much, where mainly because I hadn't read the cards, but
or played the game,
or read the rules, or done anything. I had to sell it. That's about it, and move on. But even Boiler's Axe Throw, I thought, oh wow, that's different. But I think that's about it. Don't have much else to say. Season 4 just yet. I've played fuck all of it, but
you've played a bit of Navigators though, haven't you?
Yes, I'm enjoying Navigators very much so. I was a fish player back in the day, but I really hate making decisions. I get extreme decision fatigue and I just can't be fucked, so
do I want to wake up today? Oh shit.
That's it. The biggest decision is whether to have a shower or not. And more often than not.
Frequently.
It loses the fight. But Navigator's great. Mainly because I don't have to choose a captain or a mascot. I know exactly what I'm doing. But they've made the point before where it's shark fish again, early season 2. And even when Corsair was still starting to get good and everyone was starting to figure him out, Shark has one game plan and Navigator seemed to thrive on that with just a few more options and a few more pieces in their toolkit.
I'm not going to lie, I'm disappointed that when they said Navigators, Navigators, the answer wasn't which one of those.
Well, no, actually, mainly because they just came in into my shop, into stock.
And that's into your living room.
You're not wrong. I'm looking at my 2 shelving racks here just full of that shit now, and I'm just like, oh, cross. I wish more of it would go out. But
Do you ever read any Terry Pratchett?
No.
Okay. Do any of you guys read any Terry Pratchett?
Pretty busy.
You're not.
I've read some.
Are you aware of Cut Me Own Throat Dibbler?
No, not read that much.
Okay, well, he's this character, and I kind of feel like Jesse's sales pitch is kind of similar to Cut My Own Throat Dibbler. And Cut My Own Throat Dibbler is this famous street vendor in the city of Ankh-Morpork, which is one of the kind of main places that Discworld is based, or the stories are based. He basically goes up to everyone and says, I'll sell you this for a dollar, but I'm cutting my own throat. And so it's Cut My Own Throat Dibbler, and he basically will sell anything to anyone, and most of the time it just looks like shit, and he doesn't know what it is, and they don't know what it is, but they still buy it.
Wasn't a classic anecdote, was it?
It's it didn't quite work
how I thought it was.
I'm all for calling Jesse Dibbler Haas, though, because I feel his Dibbler gets a fair bit of work.
Yeah, exactly. It works for that.
Yeah. Fucking Heist, man. What a legend.
What about, like, how do you think the, not like tiering, but how do you think, like, the rebalance has gone for guilds? And do you think that overall most guilds have equal options within themselves, not externally, but internally. So, for example, like obviously the big alchemist debate is Midas v. Smoke, Smoke wins out. But do you think overall most guilds have an equal internal balance, or some guilds have a more excluding minor guilds, because obviously limitations. But do you think the rebalance has made more options viable, or do you just think that some options that were viable now aren't, and overall we're kind of in the same sort of game state?
It's guild by guild at this point, isn't it? Like, I honestly think you could just go through them and just go, yeah, you know, Alchemists, well, Smoke, I think, wins that hands down. And you just work your way through them. And it's almost a reshuffle where, this is my feeling, that some guilds where you had both that were viable have gone to more singular. Like, Farmers, for example, I've played a little bit, and I just don't see a situation you take Grange at all, ever. And yet last season they were both viable in two different game styles. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I just feel like, you know, Farmers, as the example, have probably about eight models you'd play, you know, six that I seem that I love, and you can swap kind of two of them in and out depending upon the game style. Yeah, I mean, you can just go through each of them, really. As an example, and the one because I don't know much about these guys, but the Butchers, you know, the Philip Ox debate, has Ox mm-hmm. been dialed up enough? Is that an even one now?
I think it's more towards Ox, but I mean, this is talking future-proofing, but a caveat was that I think once they get the crossover models from Cooks, you'll see a lot more Philip, and I think perhaps that swing actually goes back to being more Philip again.
Is that because of the, you know, the guild rule, or, you know, what do you reckon there?
I think it's like what Roast brings. I just think it gives a significant boost to their kickoff, because I think that's still their weak point at the moment, is that they don't really have a kickoff pressure. They've got Shank, but it's usually you're trading 2VP for the ball, or 4VP, 2VP and a goal, or against Morticians. It's even worse. But I think you look at Brewers, for example. I think Brewers are in a better place than they were originally given, and I certainly gave them at the start of the season. But I think that team is incredibly narrow in what you actually want to take. And I think it's even more narrow now than it was in the previous season. Which I think is a bit of a shame.
I look at the guilds that I play, so Union, Morts, Hunters, a little bit of Fish. I think Union, you've got two viable captains there in Blackheart and Rage.
100%, yeah.
Pretty, you know, different and interesting play styles. Same with Morts. Like, Obi is just a great captain. You know, like, he's obviously got a bit of a skill ceiling to him, but, I mean, a skill floor to him, but he and Scalpel both present some pretty interesting options. Hunters, yes. Fish, yeah, of course there's been dialed back a bit, but, you know, they're still both viable. I don't know, I look at Engineers as well. Again, you've got two really viable captains, Ballista doing the usual kind of pseudo-control style that he plays, and Pinbice just bonkers damage, bonkers kill threat, and weird fucking janky interactions.
I think she's been lifted, one of the big lifts that I've seen, and then just by playing him, is actually the kickoff momentum. Because one of my biggest hates, or one of the things you want to be able to do is, like, if you're kicking off, be able to overclock your kickoff model. And you couldn't do that if you couldn't generate momentum from range. And Ballista is the easiest way of doing that, because if they just sat off you. Now, if you start with one, all of a sudden you get a much stronger kickoff model. So depending on, you know, whether you're going in with Salvo or whoever, made Pinvice more viable, because then you can play an even heavier kind of goal, and she's a killer as well.
Do you think Pinvice is more viable though now because of the changes to other models within the guild? Because I think playbook got worse.
I think it's a combination.
But I think, like, the changes to, say, Salvo, for example, and the fact that you've lost that kind of pre-requirement for Mechanica and stuff.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, Fixer doesn't have it, Overclock does have it, and then, yeah, Pinvice, obviously hers are all just straight guild model. I definitely think that opens her up, but I think it's a combination because, Salvo's just become
fantastic, like kickoff pressure kind of model and winger as well.
Every time I think about playing engineers, it's all just because of Salvo.
Oh, he's fantastic. I love it. I love it. And it's also the efficiency, the fact that he can, you know, once again, you can't overclock him, but if he kicks off, you can heroic before you do anything if you want to get the free shot, or, you know, it just frees up the options when you're kicking off, and he's a fantastic kickoff model. Their velocity also, and normal velocity hasn't lost anything, so, you know, in terms of her viability. So,
where do you sit or stand on Locus?
Loses out to Colossus.
Because Locus, I feel, is kind of in a similar boat to Stave and a few other models, and that there was this big kind of like, aha, this is going to be their season, and then they come out, and then everyone went, aha, and then everyone played them and went, no.
He's great, don't get me wrong. If you didn't have Colossus, you'd probably play him. I think my issue is the two things that I didn't like about Colossus they fixed.
Although he lost tackle push, didn't he?
But he basically got the KD push. He already had that. He got the momentum singled out, right? That was one of the biggest issues. Yeah,
that's huge.
You have to do it without momentum, and then you could kind of get into his playbook. And I just think that's massive. Also, he can, you know, on a counterattack, you just almost guarantee that singled out on someone. Like, he can get the KD as well. I just think he's just fundamentally better than Locus. Yeah, Locus is cool, and he's a bit of fun. I don't know, maybe you play him if you don't want to go in the box. That's about it. You can't put him in the box. He's not human, so, but other than that, I just think Colossus, they fight for the same slot, and that's where Colossus, I feel, just wins it.
Go on, finish about your thing about engineers, because I had a question for Dave, but it's off on a different topic, so you finish your point first.
So my other point about Colossus is, if you combine Colossus and Vet Velocity and then how you engineer the scrum to work, you can actually get, you know, with both of them engaging with a singled out, it's +5 tack, because she gets a +1 as well, so it's 2 plus Colossus is 3 plus singled out. So all of a sudden, any one of your other engineers just completely fucking wrecks face. So, that's why I like Colossus.
No, that's fair. I think he is really good. I just think, do you think that team's got a lot of flexibility, or do you think it's also quite narrow? Because that's another thing.
Season 4, I feel like a lot of the teams are sort of semi locked in with what they want to take.
I feel like they're reasonably locked in, but it might just be what I do and the play style I like to play. Because when I look at them, once again, I reckon there's about 8 models that I like, with just basically a couple of flex spots based on the matchup. But I feel like they are a bit narrow. One of the flexes is the captain. And then I think almost the velocity versus vet velocity. That question, and sometimes, you know, Harriet. I don't know if that's just what I've played in the past and what, because I played pretty much the same models all through WTC, and that was just a ballista lineup. And the other one, like Mainspring's basically jumped into the mother role now. I feel like mother's just not as viable, and Mainspring's the one you'll play most of the time.
Our thief is just a nice ability, though.
Oh, Mainspring's just great on all, like, you know, efficiency if you just want to get momentum with a pass or something like that. And then Thief's fantastic. Biggest issue with Mother's nerf or rebalance was, well, not biggest issue. She got so many things hit and then went to 3-1 as well. And that's where it's like, oh, if you want a mascot that you can, I just prefer a 4-1 mascot as opposed to a 3-1. You know, she just becomes dark.
One that blows up and does damage to them.
Yeah, exactly. Now that they've taken away that your damage friendly models as well, so
yeah, the removal of those sort of clauses. I've been playing Fangtooth a bit, and the fact that Fangtooth Unleashed only hurts him now is a big, big, significant change. You're not playing Hoist anymore, then?
No. I think he's just a massive target. I feel like triple floor, you know, triple knockdown range is a trap. Like, it's just almost win more. It's fantastic. But, yeah, I just feel like it's almost too much. Whereas with Salvo and Ballista, like, and then sometimes you don't even have Ballista and you can just rely on it from Salvo. I just don't think you need three.
No,
removal of the top height kills him, basically. I think that's where all of a sudden he's just not as durable.
Do you think the change to the range to Blast Earth has any impact on that, or not so much?
Yeah, definitely as well. I mean, the range issue. What did it drop back by? You effectively were 11 and a half inches you could tag someone from, from where you were, so plus a walk. Like, it was ridiculous. That's definitely an issue. I used to, you know, that was a fun thing you'd do turn one to people. But I think now, Salvo jumps into the slot, almost plays a similar kind of role where he wants to threaten the ball if he can get close, but just does the damage from range when he's around the place and probably not quite a soak like Hoyt was.
Well, he doesn't even need to get close, does he, to threaten the ball? Like, he just stops that scenario of them being able to just put the ball down and walk away. I mean, I guess Mother kind of had an answer to that as well with webbing and rubbish like that. But tether ball is the kind of dream of like the knockdown, dodge towards, scatter the ball, tether it to you, jog or sprint, shoot.
Thank you very much.
Swiss strikes being 2 inches. So strong.
Yeah,
so
that's
strong.
Fantastic. I love that in a melee context as well. You know, someone engages you and you shoot him in the face and bounce away and then just walk away from him.
Because he's got one, because it's on damage, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that effectively gives him a playbook result of one damage double dodge.
Yeah.
I mean, playbook result like that seems pretty interesting.
And it's pretty good. It just helps him. I guess that's a survivability thing, really. It just helps him stay away from people, which is pretty nifty. I definitely think they're narrow with him. Like, I just love to play him. I love Vet Velocity. I'll play Colossus, and then I will play Ratchet, and then switch the captains and mainspring. Like, that's kind of what I've been playing with them.
So the question, excuse me, I was going to ask David is, now that you have you played much Union in season 4? Because if you haven't, it may not be a particularly.
Yeah, I've played a little bit. Played a little bit of Rage. I haven't played any Black Up.
So have you found that you've changed your lineup at all? Are any other balanced changed models coming back in, or you're still just
not really. I think I'm tending towards Rage when I play, because I kind of like that direct point and click style. And I think he's got a fairly consistent lineup. So no, I'm sorry, Mountain. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but no, there's not been a lot of creativity.
I know. I think, again, I know I don't want to sound like I'm panning on season 4, but it's sort of like all coming back to that question you asked earlier on about, do I think there's anything particular to talk about anymore, and other than just kind of general chit-chat. I feel like a lot of, I don't like to say solved, but...
Yes, that was my next question. Is Guild War solved?
I think as long as you've only got one scenario and you've got only opportunity cost for selection... It isn't ever going to take particularly, and again, because we live in the 21st century of social media, it's never going to take that long to come up with, in air quotes, the optimal solution to the singular problem that you have in Guild War of how to get to 12 VP.
Yeah, I wonder whether this breaks down, though, along competitive and kind of casual play lines. Like, I think competitive players will always gravitate towards a very kind of optimized solution because you want to win a tournament and you want that consistency of result. But I think from the casual play point of view, like there's less, there's more willingness to experiment and just play with what's fun. And I think maybe that's where, maybe we're too skewed towards, you know, how do you optimize? How do you get these tournament results? You know, what's the best way to play this game? What's the most reliable method to win a tournament versus like, what are we just going to play for fun? And like I was playing, we were up at the club last week and I just threw down whatever bullshit I felt like. I was playing Hunters because I only had them in my bag. I feel bad playing them in a casual setting.
Random
I know,
build.
I'm a fucking terrible person. It's true.
Hey, you're a new player. I'm going to hamstring myself and use this totally random guild I've got. Oh, look, it's Hunters.
Yeah. But you know, I just played
it's
like
small
all
bag,
range.
Small bag.
Just played like all range Theron, and it was fucking awesome. But it was stuff that I probably wouldn't take in a tournament setting. Still crazy fun to play with. And you talk about Swift Strikes and Egret. Fuck me, she got good.
What
she's,
a babe.
She's cool. Yeah. She's cool. But you know, it was good just to play more casually and not have this kind of competitive mindset. And that's where I think like the minor guild stuff and unusual lineups where people just like the look of a model and they'll put it on the table is, you know, it's always going to be a big part of Guild Ball because I think a lot of people just love to play it. It's a fun game.
I think that's an important part of it.
Speaking my language.
Yeah, and I was wondering, is that like the jank that Jesse and I love to talk about, is that actually a viable way of going into it? Like, you know, Jesse, you and I have like talked all kind of weird kind of goal, you know, angles and that sort of thing. But is it,
yeah,
you know, taking something that people can't predict, does that kind of uneven, you know, or mess with the playing field?
Probably. I mean,
it depends what it is, doesn't it? Because it's still got to be strong. It's still got to be one of my biggest I won't say gripes because it's not a negative, but my favorite model or my favorite thematic player in Guild Ball is Stoker. I absolutely love Stoker because it's the dude sets himself on fire. Like, what's not to like about that? It's cool as fuck and unique as fuck, but he's just not going to get played. And so you could put him in, like you say, for the theme and for the fun, but it's and I think you're right in that my mindset is far too competitive. Like I am unashamedly a competitive player and I play every game to win.
And this is the other thing that I think Steamforge does really, really well is that like there are so many people that are devotees of the fluff. They just fucking love the story, and that's how they come to Guild Ball. And I think, you know, I'm theorizing here, but I imagine they pick up and play characters that they like or, you know, they've got a connection to. I don't know.
Jesse
likes that. That's why he plays a seagull.
Absolutely. Fucking love a wonder girl.
But is that too many Guild Ball there?
Let's say yes. In the current context, I was just going to say we all play miniature games. Probably, I guess I say all, but I don't know everyone in the world. But I say 95% of us play the game for the miniatures and the feel of the game itself, and playing against someone and playing with someone. I came to Guild Ball and stuck with it since it came out because it was the game that I could play and have fun, no matter the result, no matter if I was getting absolutely pantsed or again, sadly smashing my opponent, which has happened at least probably 0.1% of the time, early doors. but I think that's the other side of it. I play Guild Ball for fun. I'm a perennial 2-2 player at tournaments on a good day. I'll be honest, but I'm just here for the fun. I started the store just to provide the community with an easy access to all the bits and pieces. But I think that's the difference for me, and that might be the difference in season 4. And people having fun might actually come out on top because they're playing with what they like, and then they'll just get smashed in on the last table. But that's okay. Hunters and Morts will top it for a little while, but there'll be an errata and things will change once again. And I think, as I said, I've only read the cards, about half the cards, but I think there's some things that people are overlooking, and I think they might come out of nowhere. And I've listened to a couple podcasts recently, and some of the blacksmith stuff is pretty cool still, but not getting as much focus as those top hunters and morts.
Yeah,
he's still.
I guess
of course he got dialed back, but he just got. I don't think he got dialed back. I think he just got dialed different, and he's still a fucking beast.
Now I just wonder if the surprise tactic is got some value, and I know that doesn't last forever. But early in the season, if you go into a tournament like one that you've got your fellow podcaster to organise, and then you've taken over, Jason, that
do you think Axel Rose ever organised the tour?
There.
Are you there. Really comparing yourself to Axl Rose? Is that the path you want to go down?
Andrew's a roadie, right?
Have you fucking seen Axl Rose these days?
Ginger.
I'll tell you what, mate. He can't get a cable out. He hasn't shat for years.
He doesn't need to. He's got someone to do it for him.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's what the elves are for, surely.
Yeah, I have to admit, I think actually it is one of the reasons I've gone back to Union, or I think I'm going back to Union, is the whole trying to have more fun, because I still maintain that there isn't a more fun captain in the game than Blackheart. I still, as much as I enjoy the way Scalpel plays and I enjoy that kind of standoff, denial, control game, it's just not as fun as like double dodging around the whole board and scoring from some ridiculous angle and putting butchery on the whole team. And it's not as fun as like doing a Blackheart activation with a load of widgets and then making James Long take his inhaler and then doing his actual jog. And he's gone about 20 inches at this point.
Yeah, he's weaponized unpredictability. He's a great captain.
It's just so good. Yeah. Last night I played a game with him. I think I mentioned this earlier, and it's just, honestly, it's like you've had so many like pressure wanks recently where you've been sitting on your hand to numb it so it feels like someone else. Then actually you go back and for once you just use baby oil and it feels fine and how it always was before. And it was just exactly what you'd been missing. You didn't need to like do all of the weird shit with the toilet tube.
The best part about that is the baby oil's now different. Like that's the new shit.
No. Like the baby oil was like kind of like the control. That's the neutral. That's the standard.
Oh, is this Guild Ball related? Oh. I'll check you out again.
Sorry. Did we lose you there for like 10 minutes, Jesse?
I think you found me.
I like the idea that you're just sitting in the corner, you heard baby oil, and then you're like, right, I know about this, I'm back in. Time to unmute.
Make me update. I definitely unmuted and I updated my shopping list. Thank you very much.
Free Cities lube coming soon.
I've never heard the phrase pressure wank before.
Have you not?
No.
I swear, like, you know, your mum or your missus is coming up the stairs and, like, it's like each step is, like, one stroke less that you've got to, like, get the job done.
Right.
Mm.
Well, the next level is you call out to them.
Yeah. You have to think of reasons to either – sometimes you want to put the pressure on yourself. So you're like, oh, shit, come look at this. Or sometimes you're like, no, I need a bit longer. You're like, ah, can you go get my keys? I don't know.
A simple distressed help will make it very pressure filled.
Sometimes I like to do a whimper.
Wow. I mean, I imagine there's a timing issue with getting rid of the evidence here, right? And I'm thinking, I don't really want to picture the curtains in your house. Like,
you generally burn the curtains for a little
while. I was going to say, do you think Jesse has curtains?
That's like triple pressure. Call out to your neighbours.
He's the only person who's got the local council to put one of the CCTV cameras pointing into his bedroom.
Just wait till you hear the postie motorbike drive around the corner. open the front door.
Well, this is exactly the quality content we've come to expect.
High level strategy.
Nobody asked for it and everybody got it, so it's like Christmas.
Yeah, yep. Everybody wants Jason Mountain Brand ectoplasm in their stocking this year.
Yeah, it's like you get that present and you open it and you've got to pretend that it's what you always wanted, but deep down inside, like another part of your soul's just died. And you realise how little the people in your family know you.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. That's a depressing... I've decided not to get anybody presents this year and I've asked for nothing.
Well, I do this every year. They say, what do you want for Christmas? I'm like, nothing. If I want something, I'll go buy it.
Yeah, it's not a bad time of year, but I think I enjoy the holiday more than the rampant consumption.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going to the shopping centres is a bloody nightmare. Like, I actually just want to genuinely get something I need, and there's like 50 million people trying to park.
And
go into like massive debt just to show each other how much they love each other. I'm not sure how that works. But anyway, I don't think it does. But Dave, if you didn't want any presents,
that fucking eight ball of coke. I'm just going to do it myself then, mate. I had it for you.
That's a bit different. That's about holiday cheer.
I thought that was sharing. Yeah.
Just going to say, you guys are terrible people to sponsor because I'm a fucking shop owner and you're talking absolute Grinch style shit here.
Go buy stuff from that fucking tea trade living room.
Sorry. So for all your Guildborn needs, and I think you'll be stocking elves on the shelf soon, freecitygames.com. Yeah. Sorry, is that what you wanted?
That was the most promotion I've done this year, so thank you very much.
I mean, like, if you were going to buy something, obviously you buy it from your store, Jess. Obviously.
Yeah.
And it's not so much thank rampant you. Consumerism. It's more feeding an addiction.
It's plastic cracker. It's the honest truth. But that's what pays my rent.
At
least for there's like the sink in my house. I think that's what it pays for so far.
I thought it was just like a whole front, so you at least had something to show the tax man.
What's tax?
Fucking don't say. I'll edit that for you, mate.
Nah, it should be right. No one listens to this. not at the Australian tax organisation.
ASIO's just tuned in. It's like, oh, we're going to take this guy for $400.
Got to find $400 first.
There's not much here.
That's not true, man. What you may lack in material objects and cash flow, you make up for in raw talent.
I very highly doubt that, but sure, appreciate it.
Mate, I've seen you in action. I've seen you in full flight. It still brings a tear to the eye.
Full flight, what action?
You know,
I do have one.
Jesse, you know what action. Don't get coy at Christmas, mate.
I have one thing, a slightly Guildball related before I have to go back and lay some pipes, because apparently that's what I do. I think one thing that really would change it up again and would make it interesting is if game plans changed again. I think they are the thing that will change the game most, because they are effects that both sides or both teams have access to that they might not otherwise have within Guild, and therefore that can be pretty swingy how they affect the outcome of a game. And the ones we've had are now nearly a year old, I believe. They came out at some American thing in February. I don't know which one it is. Is it Adepticon in February?
What's America?
It's like 2,000 miles. Yeah. it's the Orwellian state of Trumpistine.
So the game plans are meant to change then, or is that what you're
saying? I haven't heard anything. In fact, I've heard quite the opposite. I've heard a deafening silence about them changing. But what I'm saying is, like, the core rules of the game are never going to change that much because of how it, unless they put in another way to get VP.
Yeah.
So like, all that's really going to happen from seasons going forwards is like tidying up a little bit here or there, like. You know, obviously we've got the momentum for going second. These are little changes, significant, but little. And they don't have, and they're a constant. So that's what I'm trying to say. They're a constant in the game. You know that is going to happen. And you know that's going to happen each game. What you don't know is going to happen is which game plans you're going to get and the effects that those game plans potentially have to change the course of the game.
That's a variable within the scenario. So picture yourself, all right, just work with me here. Picture yourself on Jesse Claus's lap. what kind of game plan do you wish for Christmas? You know, what would you like to see? Not like broken as shit, but just like
I really like things like one touch football. Like that encouraged the use of the ball. It allowed you to do. I know models have got it. I almost feel like I'd like maybe game plans. I obviously haven't thought this through. Maybe that had like, as opposed to putting out something like singled out or making a 4-inch dodge or giving an ability that's already within the game on some models. So like, for example, you can have poised, but some models can't use it because they've already got it. And Hunker Down is Resolute, which I think has Jack still got, but Gutter lost. But the point being, I'd like it if they just did something that is not available in the game anywhere else. Yeah. And I can't think of any great examples, but if they just did something that you just don't have access to, and that might be quite interesting.
You know what I used to like? That plot card that gave you, I think, an influence bonus for killing the enemy captain. So it suddenly gave you like one field objective. And
two influence. One of my favourites was the one where if they score a goal, you got two momentum.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff like that's interesting because it changes the resource economy. Oh, makes it a bit less.
That anyway.
That's still in game. It's still in game, but.
Well, there was another one though, wasn't there? Was it when they did a takeout or they got a goal? But things like two flash, like.
Yeah.
Which is, I can't remember what it was now, but yeah, you're right. I don't want to see things like knee slider, but yeah, you're right. Like ones slider. That. Yeah, I mean, let's face it. Who expected that to come back in season three?
Well, it's not here anymore. I mean, that's a Christmas present in itself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Knee slider shark, worst thing in the fucking game.
Oh, best thing in the fucking game. Best.
Shark's a babe. He's like one of my least. He's like one of my favorite captains to play and least favorite to play against.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a massive.
So sorry, how's that good?
Right. I heard a rumor that in playtest for season four. I can't remember who told me this, and it didn't happen. And if they were making it up to joke with me, then fine. But I heard a rumor that they playtested putting Blackheart's tackle on too. I was like, "Sorry, sir, he's got the same tackle now as Shark." Marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been awesome. Yeah,
they're winding out there, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I've launched a campaign to get him a momentous tackle dodge, but
completely balanced.
You might be pushing it. Yeah, might be pushing it.
I mean, that would be my my season five wish list change.
All right, yeah, yeah. Well, where there's life, there's hope, and you've got plenty of elves up there, so you never know.
The only problem is now. Next time I go to the toilet, it's going to be like a loft hatch when you open it and the shoe boxes fall out. It'll just be like
it's going to be a fucking candy coloured clown car.
Elves parachuting for their lives.
Flash button won't be.
They'll be able to use like all the old used condoms as a fall arrester.
Right, is that where you keep them? Interesting.
Yeah. I don't even bother taking the cocaine out. I just leave it up there.
It's always nice to be in like the middle of a work day and suddenly the condom bursts. You're like,
exactly.
You're on the verge of death.
It's an unexpected twist.
It's too late. Yeah, you don't realise till it's too late, do you? You just play on.
Yeah, you're having a great time, then it's over. It's good.
Because it's 11 a.m. and you're dancing on the tables. You've eaten all the instant coffee out of the tub.
Go on, Jess. This sounds remarkably informing.
Experiences, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
This is a very vivid description.
Yeah, I better not. Like you said, the ATO might be listening.
Like,
anyway, it's good.
He's been writing off instant coffee as a deduction. Sounds like bullshit.
Actually, like I legitimately wrote notes for this thing.
You did? Did you want to go through them? Go through them.
Yeah, go through them now. No, you've got to now, Jesse.
Okay, so there was literally... When I said notes, it was two notes.
One of them's a quaver.
One of them is remember that you wrote notes. One of them was literally reference the fact that you talked about the person who discovered milk.
We did that.
So we've ticked that box. It's fine. Like, I even ticked it and, like, crossed it out.
So 50% of your notes has been completed. So this next one better be a banger.
Well, I was actually listening to your latest episode, Mountain, and Andrew talks about being, like, a chemistry teacher.
Yeah.
Like, I've met him.
Yeah.
Like, how does he get into that? Because he's, he's like Professor Snape style, which is pretty on point, but clearly must fucking hate it.
Well, this is actually a true story. Like, the Spider-Man Marvel action hero is loosely based on Andrew. He actually was my size originally, but due to a weird chemistry experiment that went wrong in his like graduation years, he actually is metamorphosized into what he is now.
Jesus. Perfect. That is actually perfect. Yeah. He also referenced the fact that he couldn't be bothered to go to the car and get his models out, so he decided to play whatever he had on him at the time, which I just thought was just how British.
Yeah.
I was just, how British is that? Like, the distance is too far because they can't drive down the road a couple of hours because they think their country is the only country and obviously the biggest. He can't walk out to the car and get a different fucking team.
What team did he end up playing?
Oh, I didn't listen that far. Give us a spell.
I think it was like three bottle caps, a pen lid, and some paper clips.
He found them in mountain pockets. Like, that's very good. Rifled
through them. This is enormous hands. Yeah. Oh, that'll do.
The stationery guild. You see, and this is a massive kind of national stereotype that you guys have of us. You think that because you guys live on some giant island where it takes you like 4 weeks to go and see your neighbor, that we all live next door to each other. Some of us live like up to 2 hours away. You've got no idea how long it takes to get it.
Yeah, and that's about 10 kilometers, right?
It is in London.
Yeah,
I live in the Shire. We're about like two centuries away from where Andrew lives.
Yeah. So barring David and I, who are probably within a kilometre of each other, like fucking Jesse's 900 k's from where I am.
Yeah, that's 8 hours.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
What's that?
Well, on a good day.
Yeah. Well, Sunday. The way you drive, it's about 7.5, I reckon.
Give it 7.
Yeah, but it's a fair old hike.
It is. And you guys do bitch and moan about going to the next town over. So.
The car park.
I think even if his keys were in the wrong pocket, he would have complained. I can't be asked to take these out. They were in my back left pocket, and only my right hand was free.
He's fucking huge. If he dropped these keys, he wouldn't pick them up.
Just go get a new pair. It's too far down. I could be fucked with that climb.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That dude's a monster.
Yeah.
He's full of love. At WTC, I was very shocked to see how tall he was. I pictured a fucking behemoth sitting in his grandma's basement and just talking absolute shit with someone that looked like Skulk. out of Mad Max.
I'll be honest, you're giving away a lot of the magic of our podcast here.
Yeah, but fair cop, Jesse. You weren't far wrong. Like, you were pretty close to how it is.
You're breaking the third wall and taking away all the mystery.
Well, I did it on purpose because this is a different podcast, and at the end of the day, it is a competition, isn't it?
Is it?
It is one. Speaking of competitions, are you guys going to WTC next year? I think you've said, like you said when you spoke to Will,
Yeah,
I'll go.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll play.
Jesse's going to try to go 0-6 next year.
I'm all on board, Jesse, that me, you, and someone else should make our own nation and make our own team.
Who was the other drunkest person there? Probably Timmy, but he actually plays well, doesn't he?
Yeah, dude, but the way he's going, he'd probably get kicked off the German team, so it might be an option.
That's fair. He did 12-0 me first round, though, and that's where I was just like, fuck yeah, I don't have to play the rest of the week.
Oh, stop the record. He 12-0'd you in the first round?
First round, yeah.
He 12-0'd me in the last round.
Hey.
There it is. Romulus and Remus have come back. We've come full circle.
full circle, brother. Here we come, suckling from that milky tea.
I didn't know what was going on. It was still too early, and I was always getting thrown to the wind, thrown to the wolves. Part of me, I told my teammates, "I'm sorry, I'm not with it." And I was pissed. I was like, "Fuck me, throw me out!" And then Timmy's like, morticians into me and he's playing Obulus. I was like, oh, fuck. I'll just go Shark. We'll have a quick game, shall we? and he's like, yeah, we will. Yeah. then he shook my hand with his broken or dislocated shoulder.
That was a whole ruse. Did you not realize he actually hadn't dislocated his shoulder? It was his way of trying to make other people feel like they had a chance. So he actually lulled us all into a false sense of security, thinking we could take him down.
Oh, I knew I'd lose. There wasn't no game any there. I was done. German. I was like, yeah. Well, even honestly, before I even knew I was playing Timmy, I was ready to have the weekend off.
Before you games started, you were 12-0 down.
Yeah, I don't think I played a captain for the last four games.
They're overrated.
No, I'm kidding. I had good games against everyone. They beat me fair and square.
It was a cracker. All right. Christmas wishes, Mountain.
What, just in general?
Yeah, what's your hope for Christmas this year?
What do you want in your stocking, Matt?
Like, the world to sort itself out.
Fair.
Well, no,
your island will sort itself out and you'll just be this soul world within yourselves and you won't do anything outside it.
I will give you a sensible answer. I can do it, although it will be a struggle, but luckily I'm sitting down. I just hope everyone has a wicked time, to be honest. I'm not someone who wants possessions or anything. There's nothing on my wish list. I hope everyone who's got a family gets to spend it with their family and has a genuinely fantastic time. I hope those that are less fortunate find some sort of fortune. And, you know, I just want people to be happy.
That's touching.
That's really touching. We'll just post your address in the show notes and anyone who wants some fortune, go around to Jason's house.
I think it'd be better if you just edit out my voice and then talk over that point with whatever you say.
Yeah, sure.
Do it in a really affected British accent.
I want more elves, please.
Do that. All right.
Jesse?
I don't know. Like, I don't really give a shit.
Jesse wants more of this freecitygames.com.
No, I don't order shit because then I have to send it and I'm fucking dreadful.
Even worse than that, you've then got to update the stock afterwards.
luckily, it does that automatically.
Love it. You know what we're going to do? Sorry. You go.
I was literally going to say nothing, so please go on.
Oh, fair enough. No, I was going to go first 10 orders after this episode. Get a free double dodge dice thrown in with them.
I need to get some of those dice.
Yeah, they're $57.
No,
not fucking 57.
Yeah, sure.
That's a bargain. You know what? That's a great deal for the customers on this because like, it's no effect to me. So yeah, you know what? Let's say they get more.
There's a finite amount of dice that I'm going to pay for, right? You know.
Is it?
Oh. Yeah, apparently.
You said that like 30 seconds ago before you let me lose.
Okay. So at some point, the first 10 or more will receive that.
Let's find out where that finite amount is, shall we?
Yeah, you'll get two orders. It's fine. We'll be fine.
It's probably 11.
It's fine. One, no one listens to this, and two, no one orders from me. So I reckon it's sweet.
Yeah. You do realise I'm just going to order 10 times to measure. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to post them over to you.
That's a great idea. Because I'll just get free money. I don't get.
Excellent.
This is a great insight into how like, the Australian economy works.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, yeah, nah. This should be right.
We do things very differently to how we do it over here, I've got to say.
Australia's
very small. We just have a general circle jerk of economy. I think that's how it works.
Each of you gets to hold the dollar that month.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
We call them dollary doos, but I'll let you off.
Dollaroos.
Campbell, what's your Christmas wish? Come on.
Yeah, I think it's hard to go after Jason. Like, you know, such a heartfelt kind of message you put out there to the community. I think, yeah, definitely spend it with your family and realize that there's more to the world than just gaming all the time. But you can game all the time as well. That's fine. Get a game of Guild Ball on Christmas Day. If you do that, post us a photo. That'd be hilarious.
Well said, Cam.
David?
Well, my Christmas wish is, I don't know, better rifling. So I've got a better shot at Santa when he comes over. I'm going to nail that sucker this year.
There you have it, children. If you don't get everything that you asked for on your Christmas wish list, it's because Uncle Scotland got his wish.
Yeah, well, ho, 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 motherfuckers.
Oh, you've got to put a yippee-ki-yay in there. I think that's definitely the sound.
Warner Brothers Christmas today announced it was a canonical Christmas movie. Die Hard is officially a Christmas movie.
Mate, that's always been a Christmas movie in my book. They always play it just before. I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the only people who don't think it's a Christmas movie are wives.
That's why it took so long to be inducted into that Hall of Fame, surely.
Do you guys watch Love Actually over there? Do you know that film?
I don't think it's made it over here yet. It might come out in the movies next week.
Okay.
Because we're only about, 15 years behind you guys.
Yeah, that's the one where Hugh Grant gets arrested banging a prostitute, right? Is that it?
Yeah, let's go with that, yeah. Sure. I feel like it should be the name of Jesse's biography, not Hugh Grant bangs a prostitute. I meant Love Actually, but I mean, either works.
Very awkward. I don't understand Hugh Grant. I don't know if he's a human, just a robot with hair.
I actually don't think he knows he's acting. I feel like he's a bit like Keanu Reeves. Like, he just realizes there's a camera on him and just does him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was watching John Wick the other night. It's a good film. Good Christmas film.
I still never watched it.
Oh, it's pretty good, man. Check it on it. It's a lovely story about a man and his dog.
Keanu just plays whatever role that he's wearing the clothes for, doesn't he?
Isn't he a massive philanthropist? Keanu Reeves.
Donates to children's hospitals.
Give all his money away. He basically lives like not a life of poverty, but well within the means of someone with that kind of access to wealth.
Yeah, good dude.
I think that's where Keanu came from, wasn't it? We're sitting at the bus stop.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
I don't really care. You guys are going to get the hate mail, you're a fucking idiot. This is where it actually came from. I won't get any.
What makes you think we get any mail, Jess? You're already said, man. Nobody listens to this fucking thing.
To be fair, I get too much mail, and I just sell shit. You guys
get hate mail for the service that you provide.
I'm fucking dreadful. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not good at this. I just came from one in. I was three beers, and I actually started on wine. I'm two Chardonnays deep, and they were very heavy Chardonnays. I didn't even drink wine. It was just a gift that someone, I didn't have to actually meet them for Christmas, and I just thought I'd drink whatever they were supposed to give them to.
Oh, man, I want Jesse Claus to come down my chimney.
I was just going to say, I actually got excited when you were starting threatening people about, I'll come over there if you just keep rubbing your microphone.
Jess, it's a lonely time of year. I get it. People, suicide rates spike around Christmas. So, if you want some company, just sing out. I'll come over.
Just on that note, Lifeline's always available. I'd give my mobile app, but I'm afraid people will actually call me.
Yeah. And you're not a trained professional.
As far as the ATA is concerned, you don't have a mobile.
Honestly, I genuinely don't give a shit about your problems.
The clue is the fact that they are your problems.
Yeah.
All right. I'm fucking sticking a knife in this.
We just talked about suicide.
Speaking of suicide, Merry Christmas. I hope it's a good one. Thank you for being here, Mountain. Thank you for being here, Jesse.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Welcome back. That was exhausting. I think I possibly died at some point in that from laughter. You know that point at which you've laughed so hard it feels like you've done a million sit-ups?
I've never done a sit-up in my life, mate.
So that point that you've done one sit-up then, I don't know. But at the same point,
I don't know what it feels like.
A joyful conversation. I love those two blokes. They're fantastic. And in fact, I love the whole Guildball community. We've had an amazing year with travel and playing some wicked tournaments, meeting some new dudes, meeting guys that we've met online. It's been a fantastic year, man.
It has been. Yeah. Would I do it again? Yes. Yes, I would. Yeah, it's been a cracker of a year. Looking forward to WTC next year if we get there.
Absolutely. But also,
seeing what happens next with this game. It's an interesting time.
It is. It is. And I like the conversation we have around that. I think we do kind of go in and out of where we think the game's going, what we think is solved on some level maybe, but maybe not solved, just what we think is the optimal, you know, certain lists in certain guilds. So,
Yeah. The winner should always be fun, right? If we're not having fun, what are we doing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Anybody to thank, Campbell? Anybody to send a warm Christmas wish to?
Obviously thanking Jason and Jesse for their time, but thanking Jesse as our sponsor. He's a legend. He sent me a Christmas card. It's got a little Santa on it. He is a champion. So if anyone wants to get some Guild Ball crack, then freecitygames.com is where you'll get it. We're actually running a promotion, as I mentioned through that podcast. First 10 orders are going to get a couple of the exclusive Double Dodge dice, so you'll be able to get some there. If you actually just want to buy them in a set of 10, we're going to sell them. If you private message me on my Twitter page, you are looking for at Stubbyholders, send me a PM. It's $25 for a set of 10, green, black, or red, first in, best dressed. And that doesn't include postage, so I've got to work that out based on where you are. But I'm pretty sure I can get them to most parts of the world for at least $100 postage.
Yeah, trebuchet or some shit, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We just ping them one at a time, mate. You could actually build a gun for this shit. I reckon they'd like really hurt if you got it in the eye.
You just whip them. You whip them, man. Give them a good charge. Yeah? Like you were rocking your neighbor's roof or something.
Oh, man. I just had a flashback then. We used to do that all the fucking time. We were so stupid. Why would you rock your neighbor's roof?
It used to be the height of comedy. Fuck. That
was Christmas entertainment, mate. Yeah. That was...
So, yeah, 2019, here we go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens and where Guild Ball ends up, where we end up. Yeah, I don't know what else to say, mate. It's been a fantastic year.
Well, thank you, Campbell. Thank you.
No, thank you. Merry Christmas, David.
Merry Christmas to you, mate.
Yep.